We have lived through extraordinary times. A year ago, when we escaped, when we emerged from the first lockdown, and for almost a year began to live in kind of ordinary ways as we, you know, made allowances for what the world was and all of that. But in so many ways, we thought that, you know, we'd really escaped this whole COVID situation. Then, of course, there was the rise of cases down in Victoria and in Melbourne, and they went into who knows what number of lockdowns that particular one was. But then, of course, in the middle of this year, when cases with the Delta strain began to emerge in Sydney, and suddenly we were plunged into this new reality where COVID was not a distant reality, but something that was impacting people here in our city, and of course, even here in our parish. And in the midst of that, there were all kinds of other declarations and conspiracy theories and all sorts of other movements that began to emerge. Because we want to know, we want to make sense of the world. We want to have some sense of certainty. And when that's taken away, it's a very destabilizing situation and experience to have. How do we make sense of the world? How do we come to terms with things? And it's important to know that feeling of being on the outside, being on the edge, in order to really enter into the gospel today. To be a blind person, where all of your livelihood, everything that you know, everything that you're able to do is taken away. This is before Braille, this is before all sorts of other social supports or situations are able to provide a place for a blind person to work. We don't know whether this blind man had a trade or what his whole situation, what his backstory is. We can only speculate. But he's there, plunged into this desperate situation of simply sitting there by the side of the road, begging. His cloak spread out to catch the coins that might be tossed in his direction. Bartimaeus is a pathetic character. And yet he knows that Jericho, even though it's not the main event, it's not the big city that Jerusalem is, but it's on the main road heading north and south. And as people especially make their way to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage festivals, many people would travel through Jericho. And so he's there. Perhaps his mood is actually buoyant on this day because he knows there's going to be a crowd of people. He's heard about this rock star rabbi that is leading this motley bunch of disciples and followers, and that they're reported to be on their way through the town this day. And so he would have this sense of expectancy. Maybe this is his chance. Maybe this is the opportunity that he needs to finally be freed from this affliction of not being able to see his world. And so he grabs hold of it with all of his might. Son of David, Jesus, have pity on me. No one's going to shut him up. No one's going to quieten him because this is his moment. This is his opportunity to be healed. And so he shouts again and again and again until Jesus hears and stops. Call him over. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't go over to him, but maybe there's too many people pressing around. We're not told that detail. But he invites the crowd to be part of this movement. So go, get him, bring him over. And the response of Bartimaeus when they say, he's calling for you, come, is extraordinary. He throws away the cloak. Presumably he doesn't need the cloak for warmth. It's just there to catch the coins. He springs to his feet and he runs over to Jesus. It's an extraordinary reminder of the response that Jesus has been looking for, that Mark has been painting these pictures of people who were the outsiders who were responding to Jesus. The disciples, we heard last week, or just before the gospel last week, they are at some distance. Jesus is there striding ahead and they're kind of creeping behind, amazed and afraid. When this whole journey sequence began back in chapter 8, there was another story of the healing of a blind man. And that took several attempts before Jesus was able to fully restore this man. Not today. When this man comes before Jesus, the healing is immediate. But first there's this question: what do you want me to do for you? And in the Greek, it's exactly the same question that we heard last week. After Jesus had predicted the passion for the third time, and after the disciples had got it wrong for the third time, after they had tried to rebuke him in the first case with Peter in chapter 8, or with John in chapter 2, in chapter 9 after the second attempt, and then James and John here in chapter 10 after the third attempt. Each time the disciples get it wrong. But this man gets it right. Even though he's an outsider, even though he's a cripple, even though he's a beggar, even though he's a nobody, he's able to simply say what he needs and what he wants. And that's the invitation for us. What do you want me to do for you? And this man is simply able to say, Master, that I may see. See who I am. See who you are. See my friend, my family, my friends. See the way forward to be able to follow you. And with just a word, Jesus is able to heal this man, and he gets up and follows Jesus. He becomes part of the crowd of people who are on their way to the death and destruction that lies ahead for Jesus. We turn the page to chapter 11, and it's the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the final week of the life of Jesus. The challenge for us as we navigate our way through these extraordinary times is to hear Jesus speak those words to us, to have the eyes to see the needs that are around us, not to be locked any longer in fear and in isolation, not to be locked in our own little world, but to have the common good, to have love of neighbor, to have that desire to be of service in the world, to be people that are shaped and formed by God's word and by the gospel message that challenges us to, in our humility, to serve and to love and to proclaim his name. Not to be people who are bound and caught up, but to be people no longer afraid because we've heard all these conspiracy theories, no longer afraid because we've been misinformed, but now boldly declaring the wonder of what our God has done and joining this crowd of people who are exalting the Lord of all, exalting the name of Jesus. We have that choice. We always have that choice. Jesus is always inviting us individually and personally. What do you want me to do for you? It's a very personal question. Your answer won't be the same as the person sitting next to you or around you. What do you want me to do for you? How will we respond? How will we answer that question of Jesus today?